How was your trip?
Oh, this time the trip was really wonderful, in the sense that more and more of Baba's love was felt throughout the trip. And it was like he was there all the time. People felt his presence a lot there, especially at the Savas. And more so, I should say, in Mexico. This Mexico trip was really like Baba, who really wanted Rustam and me to go there, that the plan was to go to Mexico City. And so when Jaco Caraco, Rustam and I approached the Mexican consulate for a visa, we were told that, well, friends, you cannot get your visas to go to Mexico City because you got to get your visas in India itself, in Delhi. That's the arrangement between the Indian government and the Mexican government, that no Indian shall be issued a visa in anywhere else except in India. And then we were in a fix. Now what's to be done? But I had the feeling, we had the feeling in our hearts, because Mani had given a flag of Baba to be taken to Mexico City. And I said, somehow or the other, I told Rustam that we will be going. So Jaco Caraco, he telephoned Rafael and Arsenio and told them the problem. And after some time, we get a call from Arsenio back saying that the Indian ambassador to Mexico is the brother of Koyar Satarawala of Mahabaleshwar, the Ripon Hotel. And he's the Indian ambassador there.
An old-time Baba lover.
And that was a great surprise for us, you know. Like, can you imagine somebody knowing Baba and he's an ambassador in Mexico City? And then through him, you know, he invited Rustam and me as his guests to come down to Mexico City, and there were telex messages in exchange and all that. And at last moment, we got our visas to go there. The love in Mexico is unbelievable, in the sense that though there are not many Baba lovers, but you can feel that though they do not know Baba, but they have Baba's love in them. Mostly all the Mexicans. The country itself is very, very similar to India, in the sense that the climatically, the warmth of love that the people have there, and you know, even the old culture is very similar to the Indian old culture. The handicrafts are very similar, and we had two meetings there, and one of the meetings that Arsenio had arranged was in a hall which belongs to a big bookshop, spiritual bookshop or something. And there was a public meeting arranged, and there were about 70 or 80 people who had come to the meeting there. And this was the first time that Rustam and I, you know, had to talk to people who were not Baba lovers. And Rustam and I were a bit little nervous, in the sense that I said they're going to ask all sorts of questions about spirituality and all that. And as far as the knowledge of spirituality is concerned, Rustam and I are absolutely blank. And well, we sat on the chairs over there, and we said, Baba, now it's up to you to take it over. So we started talking about Baba,
and none of them knew English.
And none of them knew English.
All Spanish.
Just one or two
of them knew.
And Arsenio was the one who was going to translate everything that we said from English into Spanish. So he was standing next to us, and Rustam and I started. Now, if you ask me right now what we spoke, I do not remember myself what we spoke. But we told them everything about Baba. And we told them straight away that Baba was God in human form. And I said, I expected there to be some sort of a reaction, but you know, they were all there. And you could feel Baba's presence really so strong there. As if he was doing the talking. And Tony Griss, who was in the audience there, says that the way Arsenio translated our talk into Spanish was like he was saying poetry.
It came just like poetry.
Yeah. And the meeting ended with really Baba's love being felt there. And we met Rafael in Pune before he came to Ahmednagar. And he said they had a Baba meeting there, and there were quite a few who had come from the meeting that Rustam and I had taken in the hall there. And some of them even had tears in their eyes at the meeting that Rafael had. So that way we felt that really Baba's lot of work was done by our going to the West this time. And we met many people who came much closer to Baba.
In the States.
In the States. In the States too. Like a very funny thing happened in Chicago. I mean, a unique thing, I should not say. That Rustam and I wanted to go shopping to buy some stereo tape recorders. And all the time the Chicago group were with us, you know, whether we were shopping or whether we were in a restaurant or anything. They were just with us. And so we went to a very big shopping complex where they had,
when
you know,
you
clothes.
Who?
Rustam and myself and the other group. Mark Palmer and Kyle Morrison. And there were about 8 or 10 of them who would always come with us. And this was the shopping center which had floors of shops, you know. And but there was no shop where they would sell stereos except Radio Shack. So we went to Radio Shack and Mark said that, well, the Radio Shack really do not have any good, I mean, good stuff there. They don't have anything of your choice. So I told Mark, I said, Mark, since we have come all the way up here, why not just go inside? And Rustam and I, with the others, went inside the shop and were looking at the equipment around. And there is this one salesman whom we approached. And on his shirt was a label called Chatterjee. I thought he was an Indian guy, but he wasn't an Indian guy. He was Indian all right, but he was not from India itself. So he showed us some equipment, and whilst he was showing the equipment, there was a Baba button that Rustam and I were wearing. That was the same button that Baba had touched and blessed that we had on our shirts. So he was constantly looking at Rustam's shirt where the button was there. And he tells Rustam, excuse me, whilst he's showing the equipment, I have seen that picture somewhere. Who's this man? And Rustam said, he's Meher Baba. And he says, Meher Baba? He says, yes. He says, I remember that picture where I had seen it. He says, 20 years back when I was living in Burma, in Rangoon, a friend of mine who owned a shop selling sweetmeats, there was the photograph of this man over there. He says, I have seen that picture, now I know. I said, you're so fortunate to have recognized him now after 20 years. I said, do you know that there is a center of Meher Baba in Chicago? And then Mark Palmer instantly from his pocket took out cards and addresses and gave it to him.
Portable center.
And he says, and he said these words, that today I am blessed. This man says, today I am blessed because today is the day I am going to know whether I am going to get my citizenship in the United States. I have given all my papers, submitted my papers today. And he says, with Meher Baba's blessings, I think I'm going to get through now. So, I mean, we can just think and imagine how Baba really works. It's a question of time. For some it takes a second, for some it takes 20 years.
But what a deep impression, just looking at glance at
that's
Baba's
what
a, picture.
Yeah, that's what amazed, that was amazed us, you know.
20 years ago in Burma, in a sweetmeat shop?
In a sweetmeat shop, in Rangoon in Burma.
And 20 years later he sees a picture similarly and says, I've seen that.
So, you know, that was a very beautiful incident that took place in Chicago. And in Chicago there were a lot of love, a beautiful Baba group, a beautiful small center. And Rustam and I had talks and singing
and
cycling. And there was a program separately with the parents of Baba lovers who were not Baba lovers. Then there was a program with parents who were Baba lovers. And it was good in Chicago. We had a wonderful time there.
We had been receiving quite a few
days.
Yeah, and in LA, of course, in the Savas, it was really a wonderful experience in the sense that so many Baba lovers together for 5 days, that reminded Rustam and me of really having the same feeling of the kind that Baba would give Savas's here. So it was the same sort of a feeling in the Sahavas. And it was really so beautifully organized. You know, it was just wonderful. No words to express that. Yeah. Beautiful program. There were workshops on different subjects. And there were panel discussions. And it was just wonderful.
Singing.
And Rustam and I did a skit at the Hole in the Bucket there. And Rustam thought of doing the skit. We thought of doing the skit with putting our clothes on. So we had to get clothes for Liza because she's a woman. So the only person that whose clothes would really fit like a glove was Vesta. Yeah. So So, and the funny part is that when Rustam put on the golden wig and restless clothes and all that, after the skit, there were many who remarked that Rustam looked like Phyllis Fredericks.
Oh. Like?
Phyllis Fredericks.
Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, and Myrtle Beach, of course, it was a wonderful time. We had two programs in the center, and we had a picnic there one day. And most of the time, Rustam and I were having a good time with Tony Griss. He took us bowling, he took us swimming in the beach, restaurants. There were foot-long hot dogs. All that, yeah.
Kitty, Margaret, Namalia.
Yeah, we met Margaret Krask. I don't remember. Even as children, Rustam and I ever saw Margaret Krask. Maybe when we were little, very, very little, we may have seen her. But Rustam and I went to see her, and she was in a very good mood, you know. And I reminded her that we were Bairam's children. And I think, Pareen, my mother says that Margaret Krask was present at Nasik in her wedding time. With Kitty?
32.
I don't know.
Kandavli. When they came to Kandavli.
Yeah.
So I remind about the wedding, but around that time, first group that had come to Bombay, and we had
So I reminded her we were Baba's brother Bairam's sons, and she remembered Bairam, but she remembered more Sujar, because she told us, instead of we telling her any stories, she told us a beautiful story about Jal. She said Jal would always joke with her and fool with her and pull her legs and do tricks on her. And it seems that she said one day Baba asked Jal to go to Margaret and ask her to come and see him. So when Jal went to Margaret and said, Margaret, Baba wants to see you. And she says, I just put it aside thinking that Jal as usual is pulling my leg and joking with me. And she didn't go. And then Baba sent somebody else to call Margaret. And then Margaret went to Baba, and Baba asked her, she says, that when I sent Jal to call you, why did you come? And she says, I told Baba, but Baba, you know that Jal always jokes and he pulls tricks and he fools with me. I thought he was pulling my leg, and that's why I didn't come. And she says, Baba told her, remember, I know my brother, that he always jokes, he always fools. But remember one thing, he never jokes about me. That was a beautiful meeting with Margaret. And Kitty invited Rustam and me for dinner at Jane's place. And touch with Baba's grace, Kitty is looking as young as ever. And I think she's planning to come in November.
Oh yeah, definitely. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah. But the best food that Rustam and I enjoyed was in Mexico.
What about Disneyland?
Talking of food. And especially the silence day. I mean, it's the first time that Rustam and I ever observed silence out of Pune all our lives was in Mexico. And we spent the silence day at Rafael's farm, a huge farm, 400 acres with 160 horses. And the house is the feeling in that house is like a mini pilgrim center. The same type of corridors.
It looks exactly.
Exactly. It's just beautiful. And the best part is at the silence day, not only all who we were there, like Rafael and Lourdes and this little sweet child, Erich, and Arsenio, his wife Julie, the children, Meradi, Ilya. We all were there with Tony Griss. We all kept silence. But it's unique that even the servants who were working there, everybody was silent. So even when they come, would come and serve us lunch or dinner, and you would do this, that you would do the puta. But yeah. Everybody.
Here also it happens like that.
And another highlight of about Mexico was that. There is the old basilica over there in Mexico City. Can you tell the story about the basilica, Rafael? Is about the guy who had a vision of Mary there?
Yeah.
Supposedly this native Mexican, very poor, and he was, I don't know the details, but the fact is that he was on his way to...
She knows, Lourdes.
Lourdes, can you say that?
Yes. I told you the story last year. I'll say it again.
Yes.
That the Virgin of Guadalupe, you know that Virgin? Did I say Virgin?
Yeah.
Of Guadalupe, it's like Fatima in France. No, it's, well, you know. She, it was an Indian Mexican, and he was going to town from his house in the village to the city, and he crossed a mountain, and then the Virgin appeared to him, and he was carrying roses in a cloth, cloth, and then the Virgin told him to put the roses in the floor, and then the roses and the cloth turned. Her image appeared in there.
On the cloth. The image the appeared on the cloth. But the,
she skipped a large part of the story. what happened is the first he appeared to her.
Huh?
And he went to, and she told, first she appeared to him, and she told him, go to the priest or whatever and have them build a church up here with my name or something like that. And he went there and they didn't believe him. So he went back to her and he said, but they don't believe me. What am I supposed to do? Go back and tell them. So he went back and told them the third time he came back. Same thing. And then she said, when you go there, just put this thing, put it out in front of them. And he didn't know what was going to happen. So he put it out in front of them and there was this image of her, a beautiful image.
And that image is still hanging in the church there.
Yeah.
The old basilica is sinking now. It's sinking.
Yeah.
People are banned to go inside because it's really sinking. And next to it, they have built a very huge modern church where they have this image still hanging down there. And there are a lot of pilgrims who, with their love and faith, come to the image. We saw some of them even crawling on their knees while going inside the church. They come crawling on their knees all the way. And Rafael and Arsenio said, now, since the silence day is over and we are going, do you want to see the pyramids? Or do you want to go to the basilica and see the basilica? So somehow the other Rustam and I thought that, well, pyramids, we had been to a museum and we saw some models over there. So we said, we already seen the pyramids, so let's go to the basilica. And there was Baba Sadra in at the farmhouse there, which we had to carry back. So on our way back, we went to the basilica. And it was Baba's will that his sadra was taken along with us inside the basilica. So it was Baba's reasons that we had to go to the basilica and be in front of the image that appeared on the cloth over there. And Baba's sadra was there.
Isn't
part of the significance of that story that he was like a peasant, like the Harijans here in a way? That's why the people, the priests, did not listen to him. And then the peasants felt that after this, that Christ was for them too.
And one evening they took us to a restaurant.
I was waiting for the restaurant. And they asked me, yes.
A restaurant, and we all the boys went there. Sora, me, Rafael, Arsenio, and Tony. And it was one of the most wonderful experiences of our lives. Because mariachis, they call them the singers, and they would come and sing one song after the other.
The trumpets and the violins and the singer, and, you know, the dress, beautiful.
I thought they were going to talk about food, all music.
And they were all the songs were love songs, you know.
And there were a few songs which Baba liked.
It seems.
But it was in Spanish.
Spanish.
So how did you know?
But the feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cucaracha, cucaracha, tararara, tararara. So that was a beautiful experience, yeah. And of course, we also went to Disney World and Epcot Center in Florida. Beautiful. What to describe? You get very happy there. Yeah, you become like a small child yourself there.
Is there a difference between this Disneyland?
There is, in the rides and all that, there is absolutely no difference between the Disneyland and the Disney World. But if anybody has a choice whether they should go to Disneyland or Disney World, though they are both identically the same, Rustam and I felt that Disneyland is the place to go in California. Because the feeling there in Los Angeles Disneyland is something very different. I don't know why, but it is, you, I mean, when we had been there in the Los Angeles Disneyland, you felt, you know, you felt more of Baba there, and the feeling of happiness was more in Disneyland.
But did you see the flamingos in Florida?
The flamingos?
Flamingos for the birds.
Birds with the
joy. Yeah, you saw, yeah. Oh, that's lovely. Mm-hmm. And in Disneyland, did you sit in those little cars that bump, bump?
No, the cars won't take our size, so it's too small.
I've seen that in a film, I think it's adorable. You know, you just go and then you bump into a wall, but nothing happens, you bump back and then you go. That's very nice. And your luggage and all came intact?
Yeah. Everything came intact.
So nowadays we have so much of this bag. This one's bag didn't arrive.
No.
I mean, Lindsay never got her bag.
No.
Her luggage to see.
You see, we had to travel from place to place, so we left one bag with. We left two bags with Raphael to bring it over. We left one bag with Bob and Christy to bring it over. So they came. Yeah, they were all there.
Did they ask you?
Yeah, not all of them. Some of them did
most
ask.
Most of them asked, what have you brought for me?
And what did you bring for
them? And what about your children?
Yeah, they were very excited to see us back, the family and the children. And after 2 days, they said, we wish you go back again. And leave us in peace. Okay. We'll just go to Mehra and meet her and come. Jai Baba.
Jai Baba. Jai Baba.
I know that I am the all-knowing one. I know everything except one thing. I can't differentiate between who is Rustam and who is Sauran.
But another time something really funny happened.
Yeah.
We were in the small Mandali hall in Guru Prasad, the smaller room, which is the intimate disciples and some lovers that were around Baba. They were allowed to be with Baba, just informal, just sitting around. So there were the twins were there. And along with, just behind them was their uncle Jal Kaka, or Jaka, as they call him. And Baba was seated in a, and Baba suddenly turns to one of the twins and says, which one are you? And before he can say anything, Jal from the back says, that's Rustam. And Saurabh says, I'm not Rustam, I'm Saurabh. So there's laughter, you know, because his old uncle couldn't. So then Baba said, really, yeah, at that time. So the uncle, I mean, Baba says, he turns around and says, you know, I know everything that's happening in the whole universe, but I still don't know which is Rustam and which is Rustam. And then somebody told me how to differentiate them. They said, you know, it's very easy, one of the family said. Saurabh has a mole on his face, on the right cheek. Eyes on the neck. And Saurabh has a mole on the neck. I said, wow, that's good. You've solved my problem for all time. This is great. I was really happy. Then when I saw them both together, and I said, which is the one that has the mole? Or did Rustam have the mole, or did Saurabh have the mole?
I always remembered. Because I didn't use the word mole, but I had to put two and two together, speck. S
and Sora.
That's how I eventually started differentiating.
Yeah.
That needs a computer to work out.
Feldmanism, Madhu.
Feldmanism, ah.